The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Monday morning. This will be the 11th of January, 2021. It is 4 minutes past nine, and we're with you till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. We're here every morning between 9 and 10. That is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then we'll see you Friday night, and then we'll do it all again next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Friday night, and all the way up until it stops. Essentially, did you have a good weekend and are you all okay today? We've been asking you how you're doing and you've been sending in fascinating insights into where your world is at the moment. And today is a big day for very, very different reasons and for many, many different reasons. And one is the mother and baby report is going to land on Wednesday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. I think it's possibly Tuesday. And a lot of the details were leaked to the Sunday Independent yesterday. Always good to get a leak and to get a story. I get that. But what an unfortunate story to have leaked, because it was so disrespectful and it was so unfortunate for the people who feature in that report, who were promised that this report would be given to them first. And to have it landed in their lap so unceremoniously yesterday was desperately sad for them and their families. But look, we now move on to the next bit, which is the full report itself. An extraordinary, did I see here 9,000 pages of some sort? It absolutely sounds, it's coming out tomorrow, it sounds like an enormous, well-researched and put-together report by these experts who needed a lot more time than they realised. Sorry, 9,000 I think is the number in my head of the number of children who died in these homes over the course of all these decades. The number of pages in the report I'll get to in a second. Point is, more importantly, that figure in itself is desperate and very unnerving. But I don't know enough because I haven't seen the report, and until I see and hear more about it, I can't really comment on it, other than to say to the women and to the children who are now adults, this morning our thoughts are with you. And the reason I want to conflate in some ways the two stories, that is to say of the women and children and those homes and the legacy of those places, with this morning, is that today a lot of people, women and men and their children, are at home and they're homeschooling. And they shouldn't be homeschooling today. They don't want to be. And the teachers want to be in the classrooms and the children want to be in the classrooms and the government want everyone in the classrooms. We all as fellow citizens want you in the classrooms, but it can't happen. So you're homeschooling again today. So you're probably not feeling on top of the world today in some ways. Some of you are okay with this, it's great, but I think the majority of people are fed up and they're going, I have to face into this now every day. I also have to do a job. I have to bring money on the table. I have to pay a mortgage. I have to put food in the trolley and juggle all of this carry on. And it's going to be tough. But what I'm saying is that if you're going to be teaching today and if you need to go off the beaten track, for example, if you can't keep up with the demands of the class, expectations from the principals or the other teachers, and you have to do your own thing a bit, pick up a newspaper. And by pick up a newspaper, I mean go on any newspaper, any Irish paper today, and tell your kids about the mother and children homes, because that's what history does. This is history at its best. If you tell them, if they're age appropriate, obviously, and tell them what's the story, what happened. Read the reports in the next couple of days and inform them, because hopefully then the lessons of history, those children will learn not to repeat what they hear about and seen, because their jaws will drop to the kitchen floor when you tell them what we did to children in this country and to their mothers in decades gone by. And it's deeply grim and depressing what we did. But I always feel that it's really healthy to be discussing it now. At least we can do that now as a generation and say, please, God in heaven, may this not happen again. And that's got to be a good thing, because we are at a point in this country where we have to eke out the bit of light. Not easy to find all the time, but we've got to eke it out and try and find the positives from the negatives. So it's just worth having a think about that today. I saw a woman on the news last night and she was so upset about that report being leaked, and on behalf of all the families, And I thought, what an unfortunate, you know, as I said, leaks are so good in journalism. They're so, if we didn't have leaking and whistleblowing, we'd have very little great stories. And I'm not having a go at a paper or a journalist at all. I'm absolutely not. It's simply to say, it's just an unfortunate of all the things to have to break early. It just feels like it kind of desecrates in some ways a promise that was made to these people who deserve so much better. So just an unfortunate moment. And as I say, they're going to, I hope, and I hope I'm reading this correctly, that the Taoiseach is going to make an apology to them and their families on Wednesday. That's my understanding of it in the Dáil. And that there's some class of a webinar, I think they said, in Morning Ireland this morning, where the Minister for Children and the Taoiseach will address some of the people who have been in these places and maybe try and clarify exactly what happened. And I think today, I was driving in this morning. I'm not a big man for the monarchy. I respect them as human beings, and I respect the British people for their choice of having a monarchy. That's fine. But what I do like about one thing that they do quite well there with the monarchy and with the UK is an award system for their citizens. An MB, an OB, a CB, a knighthood, a damehood, whatever. And I'd love if we could have done something similar in Ireland, like they do in France, the Légion d'honneur. I would love something with a good Irish name on it, presented by the president every year, where they say, do you know what, Catherine Corliss, you deserve the Order of the Irish Dignity Brigade. I just made that up on the top of my head. But and just something to say to her, thank you. Thank you for going to your kitchen table, like so many families will do today, and taking out some old documents and saying, enough. I want answers. And not just for me. I want answers for many, many babies that were put in a sewer. Yeah. And I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep asking questions. And I'm going to knock and knock and knock until the door is open. And here we are today. And I would love that if we could say to somebody like her, thanks, have this. It might just be a trinket. I don't know what you might think of it. Maybe you don't even want it. You're a humble person. I've met her a few times. She'd probably be mortified. And yet, just to say to her and to her family and to those who come after her, yeah, she did that. Good on her. You know, and it's people like her, people like Vicky Phelan. Thank you. Thank you for knocking on the doors and not taking no for an answer. Because a lot of us would have said, no, okay, damn, and gone to bed. But these people just keep going and keep going. Vicky Phelan was on the show with us on Friday night, and she, you know, I've met Vicky many times at this point, and she's somebody, like everyone else, who you'd have the highest regard for. And, you know, she hopped on a plane yesterday on her own to Maryland in America to have a throw of the dice in terms of a clinical trial to see if she can do it. Her dad said, I'll go with you. And she said, no, it's not. I don't want to put you under any health risk. And God knows America is not the place you want to be really coming to visit at the moment. But she'll be there on her own in a hotel for a week. And then hopefully she'll head to her Airbnb apartment for 6 months minimum to go on this. She leaves her kids behind and her partner behind. And she is remarkable. And, you know, we got a lot of emails in from people over the weekend saying, and even on Instagram, I got messages from people saying, how can we write to her? How can we let her know that we care about her? How can we deal with this whole, how can we deal with her sadness or her loneliness and that help her? And add a little wind to the sails, who said. We're looking into that, and we may be able to help you out on that, because as she told me on air and off on Friday, she loves getting letters and cards and emails from people. And she reads every single one of them, and they really matter to her. Rather than being kind of blasé about it, going, I get cards from everyone, it's great, I love it. She said, no, it matters, it really matters. And I thought she was deeply honest on Friday night in a way that was very moving. And she was promoting, I want to mention Heroes Aid. Heroes Aid is the charity she was promoting, which this is a small number of people got together with different backgrounds in healthcare and others in response to the COVID-19. And the focus initially was to provide stopgap resources to frontline healthcare workers who were working to combat the spread of the pandemic in Ireland here. and they give critical PPE needed by frontline healthcare workers, and they also aim to advance the community welfare by providing psychological support and financial aid. It's a great organisation doing great things. And Vicky mentioned them on Friday night, and the website crashed. 50,000 people tried to go at once. And because they're not a big organisation, it was quite hard to cope with all the kindness. You kill the computer with kindness. It's the best way to kill a computer, by the way. If you're going to kill it with kindness. So they were on to us to say if anyone who tried to donate and couldn't and would like to have another go this morning, if they have 32 seconds free spare time, head to heroesaid.ie, try again, and if you'd like to make a difference, that would be lovely. So I'm happy to mention that, and we're wishing Vicky every good luck today and into the immediate future. Debs is quite right when she mentions it, makes a comment. She said, do you remember the old days? Stilettos, all the fake tan, going out on Friday night, and now? Well, now you're sitting in watching CNN and you know the name of the senator for Kentucky. I said, we're definitely in that zone. Do you need some light news? Well, let me tell you, our friends in Evoke.ie have been reporting that Sex and the City is coming back. Oh yes, they're feeling nifty at 50 and they want to return with a, where are they now, 10 episode limited series entitled And Just Like That. It's going to start filming in late spring in New York City. 10 episodes, half hour each. See the three beloved characters, three, weren't there four? Obviously, somebody's saying, I'm out. Who have you got? You've got Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, and Kristen Davis, which leaves out Miranda, does it not? I watched every single episode of every single... I watched them all. Watched them all. Tried to learn. Must be the first thing I ever did. I learned nothing. The half-hour series sees the three beloved characters tackling life, love, and friendship in their 50s, but things are just as tricky as it was in their 30s. All right. So that's kind of nice. And then... people who love Home Alone are saying, you know Home Alone 2 where Donald Trump appears and talks to Macaulay? They're saying, cut him out. Edit him out. Get him out. And I don't know if they're going to do that or if they should do that, but it's just something to keep bored Twitter people happy over the weekend. And hopefully they got 10 minutes out of that. Elsewhere, the good people at the Gaiety School of Acting, they're doing a smart thing. Just on homeschooling, we have some literary, drama and art resources for primary school free on their website. Now that's good. Just if you need to do a bit of drama, because has anyone not had enough drama in their lives in the last... do you need more? This is drama from the Gaiety School. It's called gaietyschool.com, and they've arranged Shakespeare resource videos for Leaving Certs there. Head to YouTube Gaiety School. So well done to our friends in Gaiety School. What a lovely thing to do and a smart thing to do. We like that. I mentioned the Birdwatch Ireland calendar, which is my calendar this year for 2021. It's up there. I can't remember which of the birds kicks us off for January. I'll tell you tomorrow. It doesn't look familiar. Anyway, the point is, it's generally birthdays. January is in everyone's family, you have a month which seems to be the birthday month. It seems that they all come in a cluster. So January is my one. Everyone seems to have had a birthday in January. In fact, my beloved youngest was going through the star signs of people, saying, who do you have and who do I have? Oh, I have the worst bunch of egotistical, narcissistic... I was just going, hang on, I don't believe in horoscopes, but everyone you mentioned there is absolutely a horror show, and it makes sense. Donald Trump was in there, JFK, Kylie Minogue, and that's the nice end of it. It got worse. I can't remember. Anyway, she had much nicer ones, like Michelle Obama and Stephen Hawking, and kind of good people. So I got the baddies. God damn it. To an extent. The Birdwatch calendar. Sorry, how did we go from that though? The Birdwatch calendar is sold out now because you all went in to have a look at it. But I discovered that they have lots of other lovely stuff, says Noreen and Tralee. They have greeting cards and books and bird feeders and t-shirts. That's all you need in life. P.S. We now have another person who only needs one name, like Bono and Gabo and Elvis. Everyone now know who Donny is. Donny. CNN. Kerry's finest export. From Cara Saving. Thanks, Noreen. He was lovely on the late on Friday night, I have to say. Real nice guy. And a great success story. What else have I got for you now? 51551. The text numbers are in already. Grace says, I am a teacher. I miss all my little friends this morning. I hope all parents remember that little ones learn in so many ways. Imaginative play, movies, story, sport, outdoor play. So if they are dressing dollies or creating a story with army men or just chatting to you on a walk, this is learning too. So be gentle with yourselves. Well said, Grace. Aren't you well named? Be gentle with yourselves. Completely agree in journalism, etc. But seriously, on this topic, where is the respect for sensitive subjects and respect for fellow Irish citizens? I'm disgusted at whoever leaked it and who didn't have the moral strength to say no, not this time. The mother baby report is a disgrace. Every case that was covered up under the 30-year-old rule needs to be freed so they can have their closure, says another. The criticism, says Martin Delaney, regarding the leaking of the mother and baby homes report centres around who leaked the report, here, and the pain caused to the survivors. Why does the desire for a scoop always rank above the hurt it causes? Yeah, well, the leaker, I'm in the journalism game myself, I'm not anti-leaking when it comes to these things, especially when it's a big story and so on, but it just felt on this one, whoever did the, as you rightly say, whoever did the leaking, what journalist isn't going to say no to it, but whoever said let's leak it would need to have go for a bit of a walk in the hills today and think about the wisdom or kindness of such an act, as far as I can see. I told you about the Birdwatch calendar, incidentally, and reports that the January bird on the Birdwatch calendar, Nora's telling me, is the common scotar, S-C-O-T-A-R. Never heard of it. But I was watching Nevin Maguire over the weekend, his programme, Nevin's Irish, you know, he goes around the sea. See, this is the thing. I got this terrible longing. This happens to me every 6 months or so. A real visceral longing to go to the west of Ireland. And I really missed it this weekend. I was going, I just want to go and have a creamy pint of Guinness and a walk on dogs. But really, really, really had the calling. It's a calling. It's like a vocation. And I was just thinking, so anyway, then that's why God created T.G. Carr, who I've been raving about. And even though, I was watching Eamon de Butler on T.G. Carr talking about birds landing in Wicklow. And it's a really lovely programme. But anyway, Nevin's programme's on RT1. So I was watching that because he brings you, it's not like postcards from parts of the country that you can't visit at the moment if you're not from there. So it was Dingle and the Blasket Islands. And sure, then the fellow was talking about to him about the Blaskets, and they all left and went to America because they ran out of food and things to eat, and eventually they started eating the puffins. I said, well, how can you eat a puffin when they don't exist? Like, puffin. And sure enough, he says, yeah, they were eating the puffins. He said, did you not know the puffins were called the chicken of the sea? I said, I said, so then you have a KFP, like a bucket. A bucket of puffin. You could have all of these things. I mean, but your mind goes all over the shop when you're trying to keep COVID and your nerves are gone. Anyway, welcome everybody. We're open for business. This is the Riptide Movement. Keep it Irish, eh? True story. All works out. The Riptide Movement, an anthem for our times, I think. I'm bemused, says a text by the AA Roadwatch Bulletin this morning. Traffic jams and tailbacks, as usual. What happened to the stay-at-home advice? I mentioned it last week. I don't want to be moany and judgy and whingy, but I did mention it last week, and it's the traffic is crazy, man. It's crazy. And it was all this weekend. Continued to be. As somebody said, would you please say hello to Noah Ty, who's two today? Of course, Dee. I'd happily do that for Noah. He's only 2 years old today. Nothing wrong with that. It's great age. Get everything done for you, and you know it's happening. You know, any younger than that, you don't, you know, barely sentient. But at two, you're going, yeah, make it all better. Thank you very much. I feel like a two-year-old today. I have a horror of a dental appointment coming up today, and I'm dreading it. Yeah, I've got a really good dentist. I used to go to his father. I go to him now. He's brilliant. Best. Obviously, he's just terrific. But it's not good, and anyway. In the great scheme of things, it means nothing. But I normally do get a little nervous about the dentist, but today I'm feeling a little nervous. Shall I read this email from somebody who has been in touch to say, I'm writing to you out of sheer desperation and frustration. We all know that our country is in a serious situation with COVID cases, but maybe I can shed some light on why we are in this mess. I am termed as an essential worker. I'm a security guard in a very busy bank in Dublin, and my role involves managing the queue, keeping count of how many people are in the building, ensuring customers comply with social distancing and wearing masks. I also assist vulnerable customers and people with queries. So myself and my colleagues were serving approximately 400 customers per day in level 3. And we thought we'd see a decrease in level 5, but we haven't. The manager politely reminds customers that they should not or should be in the bank for essential transactions only. They are not. Here are some examples of daily occurrences at my bank. Parents come in with their teenagers wanting to open bank accounts for them while they're off school. There's one. Customers want to get change of a 50 or check their balance with the cashier instead of using an ATM or online banking. Customers want to exchange small amounts of foreign currency, complaining about the banking app not working on their phone or asking us for free 2020 calendars, which we don't have. On many occasions, people have entered the bank bringing 3, 4, 5 children with them. The queues are relentless. On average, a person is waiting 10 to 15 minutes outside until they can get in. Then they may be queuing another few minutes for a cashier or a self-service machine. I've noticed that about 50% of people don't sanitise their hands at the highly visible sanitising station, and about 50% of people don't wear their masks over their mouth and nose. They often pull it down once they get past me. The mask might as well be some sort of decoration. I've even had an incident where, upon turning someone away at the door for not wearing a mask, a customer who was leaving the bank took off his own mask and gave it to the other person so that he could enter the bank wearing the filthy mask. Yes, we know. There's a huge portion of the population, says our correspondent, that have COVID fatigue. That's for sure. And they make non-essential journeys every single day, and they're suiting themselves, and they are self-entitled. They don't like to be reminded to wear a mask over the nose, and they certainly do not care about staying at home. People are mixing too much. They're not asking themselves, do I absolutely need to run this errand today? Could I make a phone call or send an email instead? I'm observing the behaviour of about 2,000 people a week, and it is frightening. It's every man for themselves. Where is our collective effort? Are we really in this together? I think that people are in huge denial and can't see that they are part of the problem. They don't see what I see. And that is from a security guard at a bank in Dublin who a lot of us might pass by with barely a nod, but they're there doing a very important job and they see everything. I think that's a bird's eye view of a typical building in level 5, which is just the worst level 5 I've ever seen. It just doesn't feel like it at all. Everyone's doing their best, no doubt about it, but it feels like about level 3.5, maybe 4. I just feel that it's because they haven't shut it down enough. That's the bottom line about it, really. But and I'm as guilty as everyone else, by the way. I'm not trying to do the, I'm not, you know, I go to the shop, I go for my walk, I'm doing what everyone, pretty much everyone else is doing, so I'm not trying to be holier than thou, to be honest with you. It just doesn't feel, I think that urgency doesn't appear to be about the place. Now, please remind walkers, says Deirdre Conroy, yes, in busy areas to walk on the left so there isn't close up blocking on narrow paths by the sea, and avoid jumping onto roads with cars as well. I know. I went to get the paper yesterday. I'm sure it wasn't an essential journey, but I did. And I walked down the road to get it, and paths were so full, I put my mask on. I said, this is freaking me out now. I just want to get a paper. People need to get out as well. And they are allowed to go for a walk. They are allowed to exercise. And you can't be locked up. It's a tricky one. And the reason I hear the traffic is heavy is because the public is afraid to use public transport and they want to keep their distance. There you go. Connor says, to all the parents WhatsApp groups giving out about arrangements for their children, maybe spare a thought for parents in the group who might also be teachers. Oh, yeah. I would hate to be in a parents WhatsApp group. I would say they are hornet's nests and who to get, what to say. And I presume there's always an alpha WhatsApper, like the big one, you know, the kind of like Caesar and Planet of the Apes, an element of that. But that's what it is. That's life. It's an anthropological fact. Will always be the main primate and the WhatsApp group. I will take the lead. I will distribute the bananas and I will decide who lives and, more importantly, who dies. WhatsApp that to me. 51551 is the text number if you want to get in touch with us today. We have plenty more places to go on the show this morning. We'll get to them all in a moment. But first this. Okay, I like that letter from the bank security guard. It says, why is this happening, Ryan? Why can't people just ease off the gas and stay at home? Phil in Rathfarnham wants to know. And another says, coffee shops, dry weather, street furniture, nothing much to do, resulted in Blackrock Village in Dublin being absolutely jammers all weekend. I noticed some people have decided that all the furniture outdoors gets the police tape over it. And some people have said, nah, leave it there. Go and sit down, and it becomes a congregational point. So it depends on how you feel about it, and whether it's wise to have outdoor furniture if you're just for the next month. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, a sense of urgency here, Ryan says the text. Stress the need for urgency. Our health system cannot take this. I find watching the news and seeing the hospitals and the staff with the head to toe in PPE, it looks so cumbersome and stressful. And they always have a close up of a gloved medical hand rubbing the fingers of a patient. And there's something very kind about that. But I just think, God, it's relentless. And that's the kind of thing that probably should have a stay at home. I think people, says Rory, have missed the whole stay at home thing this time. Unless taking exercise, people just seem to be around everywhere. Dublin Mountains was farce. Like a lot of people meeting up outside, plenty of people around and families from multi-generations around the place. There you are. And Mary in Cork says, I watched The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Brilliant. On TG Cahir. Easy to watch, not complicated. Like the Motherton films that you'd get. You'd want a PhD to understand all those films. Oh, don't watch Tenet, Mary. If you're having a bad COVID experience, do not watch Tenet. Just watch all the Westerns. Anything with John Wayne or Jimmy Stewart in it, and you'll be fine. How about that?
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, thank you, says Barbara Neve. Thank you, Neve, for all the work you're doing for us and your family. You are a wonderful person. Here, here on that one. We found a great help for our son with autism was to have an exercise ball and an indoor exercise trampoline, which he can use to meet some of his energy needs. Tell that nurse you're speaking to that she is brilliant. A lot of love for Neve this morning, which comes as no surprise. Listening to this courageous woman makes me so cross. She is, and her family are, paying the price for everyone insisting on having some kind of Christmas, so-called. We were so infantile about our approach to Christmas. Other European countries impose more restrictive measures precisely to prevent Christmas excess. I know what you're saying. Alas, I think it's just a bit of a waste of time given out about what was. It's all about what is and what will be at the moment. And so, yeah, I get that, but it's not going to help. Unfortunately, make it better. What will help make it better is people like me to stay in a bit more and play by the rules as such. We have my very outgoing, active 89-year-old mother struggles to go for a walk, says Ashling. Why? Because nobody steps to the side when she is passing. Yesterday in Cork, three people ploughed on, leaving my mother actually in the ditch. This is a very good point. The business of four or five of you, even if you're a bubble, walking abreast, as they say, is most unhelpful. You have to go into single file and give everyone else that. It's, you know, like this poor lady in Margaret in Cork. So she's not. People are a little nervous. So respect that. I think is what your point is, and it's a good shot, good call. Anne says, "I almost died of shock when that mother said she was also a nurse." I know, not only a nurse, but a nurse working these 12-hour crazy shifts, day shifts, night shifts. Imagine her sleep pattern in her head and then like three kids. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. As she said herself, one of many hundreds, if not thousands. Yeah, that was a wake-up call for me this morning, I can tell you. Final word to John, who says there's a saying, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and let's all be the weakest links in our national COVID chain. That's what we can do to end the horrors that we hear of daily. Well said. Thank you for your messages today. You can keep them coming to ryan@rte.ie by email. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned to Claire Byrne. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.